grace of God.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Just to let you know what some of the times that this program is on the air, we are 8:30 of a morning and 5 o'clock of an evening right here on 91.5 FM, 10:30 of a morning on WWBC 1510 AM, and any time of the day that you want to listen on WMIEFM.com. On their on-demand feature, you can click on the date. When that screen menu pops up, you can see Refresh with Bob Arthurs, and you can click on that. You can download it to your computer. I've done that. That's how somebody called and asked me how to do it, and so I went to the website to figure out how to do it, and so they tell you if you want to learn how to do anything technologically, don't ask an adult, ask a teenager, and they can figure that out. For me, you know, here in the past week or so, I was so excited. I figured out how to do something that I'd never done before without a teenager or a young adult's assistance required. It was so exciting. It's the small things in life that bring me great joy. So we want to invite you out this coming Sunday to Merritt Assembly of God. We are believing for another power-packed Sunday. This coming Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and we are looking forward to celebrating our God. You are not in a fair fight. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. I want to say that to you again. Greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you have a problem with the word of God, because that's 1 John 4:4. It's that the God who lives inside of us causes us to be more than an overcomer. I love the concept that God always leads his people in triumphal procession. If you are experiencing too many defeats, you've got the wrong general in charge of your battle plan. You need God to be not just your Savior, but to be your Lord. Amen. I amen myself. Sunday nights, every once in a while, the crowds on Sunday nights are normally smaller than Sunday morning. And if I don't feel like the amens have come as readily as what they should, I'll turn my back to the congregation like I'm facing myself preaching, and I'll amen myself. That's good preaching. So I want to take you today in the scriptures to Matthew chapter 5. We're studying the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, beginning verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Today we're in verse number 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. One of the issues that I have struggled with is my metabolism is evidently not nearly as active as it once was, because I'm having a real difficult time in being successful in the battle against the bulge. So I mean, when I was telling you earlier, you know, you need a different general in charge of that. You know, I'm the type of person that if I'm not seeing success doing the same thing, that doing what I've been doing, then I need to change that. Unfortunately, my changes haven't succeeded yet. So we're still looking for whatever that is. And so I've always had this line that said, my problem with food is my parents' fault, because they had got me addicted to food as a child, and I've required it multiple times a day ever since then. But in all actuality, food is absolutely essential for our physical body to exist. And so Jesus is putting this particular beatitude into a frame of reference that the people of that day could understand. Would you imagine that people on every continent, in any time frame, in any era, of any gender, have all required food in order to survive? We all require food. We require oxygen. We require water. Those are all absolutely essential in order for us to live. And so Jesus is talking to the Jewish people of the day, and as well, you know, if you look back in chapter 4, verse 24, that the people had come even out of Syria to sit under his ministry. All of these areas were under the domain of the Roman government at that point in time. It wasn't an affluent time in Israel's history. It was quite an impoverished time. And one of the things that is absolutely essential is food. And so much of their existence was focused on getting food. So a little bit later, when Jesus says, pray this way, give us our daily bread, he for many of those people, that was their reality. They were looking for how they were going to get food. There weren't a lot of public supermarkets right down the road. There weren't any Aldi's or Save-A-Lots or Winn-Dixie's convenience stores. You know, when my wife and I moved to Florida, we came the week of Thanksgiving in 1989. We were transferred here. They put us up in a hotel, and on that Thanksgiving, we didn't have an apartment yet. And so we ate at the hotel. They had a big Thanksgiving buffet, and it was great. But the problem was we didn't get to take any leftovers. I mean, there weren't the massive amounts of mashed potatoes and corn and green beans and all that sort of stuff. And later on, after we had that lunch, we were hungry and we were looking. Now, you've got to remember, this is 1989. This is not 2018. And so there weren't any places open. There was the only place that we found open to satisfy the hunger that we had. We found a 7-Eleven, and we were able to get enough food from the 7-Eleven to make a bologna sandwich with mustard. I still remember we had bologna and cheese and mustard sandwiches. That was what we had on that Thanksgiving night, because we were hungry. Do you realize how much your hunger that God has created in our human nature, how much it drives us? It talks about that a man's hunger works for him. It is supposed to be something that is a driving force in our life. It is not just the stomach acids growling inside of you because there's nothing to process. No, there is something inside of you that should be driving you to action. What are you hungry for? This word that is hungry here that Jesus describes as a blessing, this word hunger, it means famished. It means that there is a craving that is going away, that there's a pine for it, there that you realize that you are starving without this. Okay? There are people who literally go on hunger strikes. They starve themselves of food to try and get what they want. I want you to know that is not what a fast is. A fast is not an intentional physical starvation. A fast is a spiritual reprioritization that says, you know what? I am going to feed my spirit during the time I would have ordinarily been feeding my flesh. And instead of focusing on the things that are, I'm going to be hungry 2 hours later from now, I'm going to focus on something that is going to cause me to be satisfied for all of eternity. Okay? And so if you're going to fast, the only reason to go on a fast is because God instructs you to go on to a fast. A lot of people do ritual fasting, and in the Old Testament, God said, why are you doing that? Do you think you're pleasing me in doing that? So there should be seasons of fasting in our life, but I learned this lesson. There was a time of year where I would do a 40-day fast every year. And it was a modified fast. It wasn't a total fast. And one time I told God, I said, God, I'm extremely frustrated because this isn't working the way that it normally works. And during that prayer time, he said, well, are you doing this fast because I told you to do this fast, or are you doing this fast because you've always done it? At that point in time, I realized that I was doing it because I had always done it. And then there are other times when it wasn't during that season of the year that said, you know what? I need a spiritual breakthrough in my life. And I feel like God is calling me to spend some time. And you and I pray that we would get more than just a spiritual twinge for righteousness. I pray that we would realize that we are famished. Now, I'm gonna give you a little glimpse into the reality of the Arthur's household. That is this: we got four adults in the house, and all of us work, all of us have busy schedules, and so we have, you know, food, but you generally are waiting for dinner. You know, there's a time for dinner. And I'm of this mindset that if dinner is still 45 minutes away and I'm hungry now, I'm going to find something in the refrigerator. I'm going to find something in the pantry it's not going to replace my dinner, but it's going to tide me over till dinner because I'm famished. I'm hungry. It is more than just a little bit of a hunger pain. This is something that says, if you don't eat, you are going to get a massive headache. That's what happens to me when I'm not fasting and I don't eat when I'm supposed to. I end up getting this monster headache. And I was like, look, I'll just go in here. I'll just grab one bite of this. It'll tide me over till dinner, and then I won't want to eat, you know, the entire plate. Plate included, you know, but you and I, when was the last time that we feasted on the righteousness of God. That's what is being described here. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, where our character and our confession are lined up together, that we have right standing before God because we have been justified by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay? You know what I perceive to be the mindset in many people in America is they're looking for just enough Jesus to get them into heaven, but that's it. What if we realized that there was so much more that's available? That because of that right standing with God, that we're not just there for the bare minimum, we're there for as much as we can get. One of the things that I tell people is in our part of the county, there's not much in the way of an all-you-can-eat buffet that I care to go to, which is probably a good thing. The one thing I do like about all-you-can-eat buffets is their selection of vegetables, because I love eating vegetables, especially things that, you know, we don't cook with a great deal of frequency. I like to eat vegetables. And the thing about an all-you-can-eat buffet is you can go and you can get over and over and over again the things that you like. I wonder if we Christians, if our ministries would be more effective if we came to God and said, God, I'm not looking for a beggar's portion. I'm not looking for a soup line portion. I'm looking for an all-you-can-eat buffet of righteousness. My spouse needs me to partake of an all-you-can-eat buffet of righteousness. My family needs me to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Our community needs us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. A few weeks ago at the National Day of Prayer, after the others had prayed and we had broken into groups to pray, the emphasis that I was praying was, God, there's a great deal of violence in our schools. Since the 1990s, the enemy has been targeting school children over and over and over again. God, our young people need us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Our television needs us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Okay? Let me tell you what drives the programming that you see on television. The things that you see on television are all driven by ratings. If the ratings aren't there, the advertisers won't be there, and they won't generate the funds in order to be able to stay in production. So when there are horrific, horrific things from a biblical perspective that are being produced and consumed by Christians to the point that it is a moneymaker of exponential proportions for the people that are producing that garbage, then we need God to say, God, would you change our appetite? I was in a conversation with someone the other day, and they were so thankful because God had restored to them a great desire that affected their ability to taste and to smell food. And I tell you, there are some places that I can remember from my childhood that my dad worked, and we loved to go visit him because he worked right by a bakery. And whenever we went by that bakery, we could smell the fresh baked bread that was going on. And my wife, she is extremely captivated whenever there is the scent of fresh brewed coffee that is in the air. It is something that is quite pleasing to her. I want to ask you, do you think that our Christian community in Brevard County has a Matthew 5:6 attitude to righteousness or not? You know, if the pastor doesn't have a hunger and thirst for righteousness, somebody in the church should have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Somebody, it would be great if the entire church had a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that said, you know what? I'm going to find the righteousness that my spirit is craving, that my life demands. I'm not going to sit here and starve to death spiritually. I need righteousness in my life. I need it to not only be something I receive, it needs to be something that I live on a regular basis. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So I want to make sure I get this point in. I'm going to go back and talk about something else about righteousness, but I want to make sure that I get this in today. That word filled, it means to be gorged or to supply food in abundance, that you literally go back and feast on over and over and over again. My mother grew up with a horse. They owned a horse when she was growing up, and so she had a great fondness for horses. And when we got into high school, we moved to my great-grandmother's house, who had passed away. And eventually, they got another horse and had a pen back there. And in that enclosed area, there was an apple tree. And that horse discovered apples, and that horse loved apples and kept eating apples and kept eating apples and kept eating apples. I guess it was addicted to food too, because the only two stories I really remember about that horse had to do with the driving force that operated in that horse's life to eat. So my dad kept the feed in a 55-gallon drum with a lid that was secured on top of there, and somehow the horse managed to be so driven by its appetite that it found a way to get the lid off of the 55-gallon drum that was full and continue to eat. And continue to eat, and continue to eat until we found it. Said, you know what? You don't need to be eating anymore. You're about to kill yourself eating. Well, guess what? Righteousness is not one of those things that will kill you. You and I, we need to partake more of the righteousness of God instead of less of the righteousness of God. I want to take you to the book of Hebrews today. I want to remind you, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled to overflowing. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12. And it says this, for by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk, listen to this, is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward baptism, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Whenever I read this passage, I realize that a lack of righteousness is indicative of spiritual youth and immaturity. It talks about that for the mature, that who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Do you realize how controversial that is in 2018 America? Where there is so much pressure not to identify something as good and not to identify something as evil. And listen, I'm not talking about my personal preference. I'm not talking about your personal preference. What I'm saying is God has the authority to label something good. Jesus said there's none good but God. The only thing that can be good is what God has described as good. And there's a whole lot that is going on that is evil. You know what that means? It is displeasing in his sight. It is unacceptable and unhealthy for us to be partaking of. It's perfectly normal behavior for those who are apart from God, but it shouldn't be the norm for the children of the Most High God. What I have discovered is this, that eating is the greatest way to create my appetite. If I don't eat for a long period of time, if I'm going on a fast, or if maybe I've laid off the sodas for a long time, that I lose the taste for that and I begin to long for the taste of something else. Today, I want to encourage you to begin to sample the righteousness of God in your life. And you know what you're going to find? That when you taste and see that God is good, you're going to want to do life the way that God wants you to do life. It's going to create a greater appetite for righteousness in you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. God wants you filled to abundance. God bless you. We will see you the next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.